Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ken English, and I'm in Miami, Florida. It's the 24th of June, 2009, and I'm in the Wynwood Art District. I'm across the street from the Chelsea Gallery, the Wynwood Social Club, and Joe's Wynwood. Welcome to Eco Lounge. Eco Lounge is Eco Guide series. We're talking about a number of destinations with Eco Lounge, allowing people to become more aware of the ecological side of tourism. Ecotourism is very important. It's the basis of the economy of many destinations around the world. Eco Lounge is a program on the Blog Radio platform that's focused on this particular topic, ecotourism, the ability to combine nature and commercial venture to make money and to show people a good time, teach, and to encourage people to do more when they go on vacation. Some vacations could actually become a working vacation. There's a number of archaeological parks alike. They have to be considered ecotourism. But also, when you raft down the river on the Martha Bray in Jamaica, or you hike across the desert in Arizona, it's all part of the ecotourism. This is Ken English. I'm your guide, if you will. Eco Lounge, part of the Eco Guide series, producing the Eco Guide to Miami-Dade County in coming months, to focus some attention today on the Eco Guide to the Florida Keys, the Eco Guide to Arizona, California, Cancun, Cozumel, actually, and a couple other destinations. Richard Stewart's going to be joining me in just a couple of minutes and talking more about the Eco Guide series. You can check it out online, ecoguide.info. English, and I'll be right back to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the ecological world. Ecotourism, it's a very important element of what's happening. And we're going to be doing more attention, paying more attention to that in just a couple of minutes. It's a beautiful day in my heart. It's the 24th of 2009. This is Ken English, and we'll be talking about ecotourism in just a few minutes with Richard Stewart when he calls in from California. We'll be talking about a project in Arizona and regional publications that are being put together now. Currently, the main one is in Keys. Christy Allen's working on Florida, the Eco Guide to the Florida Keys. We'll be starting the production and the promotion of the Eco Guide to Miami-Dade County. I'm starting it right now as I talk a little bit about that. The idea is to talk to people, communicate with people online and through the print media as well, and convey a message very important that more people need to pay attention to. It's an eco message, not purely an environmental show, but one that really mixes the two. It's part of the life, I guess, is when you really come right down to it. I'm involved with a couple different radio programs. I am, after all, the Blog Talk Radio Guy. And as the Blog Talk Radio Guy, I'm more concerned about some of the issues that are going on. I'm in the Wynwood Art District today. In the Wynwood Art District, a section of Miami that has been renovated from warehousing over the last and brought back as an art gallery. There's a number of the Wynwood Social Club is a nice little casual place to get together. I did a program from the Wynwood Social Club on the 13th of June and Saturday. The second Saturday of every month is gallery walk, a gallery night in Miami. There's two districts, the Miami Design District, and it's a little bit north of where I am here today in Wynwood, and then the Wynwood Art District itself. The Wynwood Art District is just to the west of a new area, Midtown Miami Development Area, and that's the newest of the construction. Here in the Wynwood area, it's renovation of existing warehouse space. The Wynwood Club's a prime example, a little warehouse that has been converted into a nightclub on Saturday night, open to the public. Other nights open by special arrangements. You can rent the hall, basically. And we'll be talking about that because we're working on an eco lounge at the Wynwood Social Club. We'll be able to put some people together. The plan for eco, the concept itself, is to bring together an environmental organization with an active tourism organization. I've been working living here in the Miami area, so that's the initial thrust that we'll go after, is to combine scuba diving interest with the environmental interest. But as the producer of several blog talk programs on the Blog Talk Radio platform, I'm becoming more aware of several different issues that are out there, all of which, or many of which, come together. Recently, I began a program that I call Aquarium Rock. It's for the Live Rock USA company in Isla Mirada, Florida. Live Rock USA in Isla Mirada, Florida produces live rock, drop, and bass rock. And this radio program that I'm producing, Aquarium Rock, will mix a little bit of music with the message. Right now, the aquarium enthusiasts in the United States are getting most of their live rock from places like Fiji, Bali, Haiti. Haiti doesn't have enough problems with minimal tree cover, less than 1.5%, and a terrible economic situation. People out among the fringing reefs chipping off pieces of live coral and shipping that to the States so that people can put little pieces in their aquarium. That has to change. That's a mindset, and just like shark finning issues, the acquisition of rock from Bali and Fiji and Tonga and exotic places, and certainly Haiti, because it just is devastating the environment. But from those locations, if we could produce locally in the state of Florida, there's 11 different, of which only about 6 are active. And these are permits for aquaculture, mariculture, what the term is, because it's out in the ocean. It's aquaculture, it's fish farming, and it's like that. This is nurturing rock, limestone material, a coral that's mined from land inside a landfill or a quarry area, and placed in the ocean. And after a while, the ocean gives life to, or brings back life to, this rock. And if it's cured properly and for long enough, when it goes into a tank, an aquarium, it is every bit as good, if not better. LiveRockUSA.com is the area where you can go find out more of that information. But LiveRockUSA.com, I'll be talking with Gary Levine in coming weeks on Aqua Rock on BlogTalkRadio.com. I'm Ken English. I'm the Blog Talk Radio guy, and I'm in Miami, Florida. I'll be talking with Richard Stewart. He's making some arrangements. He's in California and has to make a couple calls to get in. I think I'm actually going to move off of this, but I see Richard, are you there now?
Yes, okay, Ken, I'm here.
Well, terrific. I'm glad you found a place to be able to stop and talk for a little bit. How are you doing today?
Can you hear me okay? I'm right now visiting, taking a little walk through the studio gallery here at Fisherman's Wharf in Oxnard, California, which is the town where the Channel Islands Harbor is located.
Well, I can hear you perfectly clear. Then describe a little bit of what you see, so I can get in the mindset with you.
Well, it's a beautiful, a beautiful area of California. The Ventura County area is about an hour and a half to 2 hours north of Los Angeles, and it is the county that essentially faces across the Pacific here, about 1 hour boat ride away from the coastal area, are the Channel Islands, which are a series of three or four, I'm still learning all about this area, islands that make the Channel Islands chain. It's a beautiful area. It's also a very interesting weather pattern that they have here, because unlike Florida, where we have 90-degree weather and 90-degree humidity, the temperature will go from 90 during the day to 50 at night.
Well, that's quite a swing, and very refreshing when that happens. It's been quite hot and humid in the Miami area. You left the Florida Keys the last we spoke. I guess you were going from the Florida Keys to Kona onto the Channel Islands. How is that trip working out?
Well, I'm out here first to do a number of things. One, the Channel Islands was the last in the area in the series of California destination story that we're doing for the next edition of Ocean Realm Eco Destinations. So I had not been to the Channel Islands. I can say that of all the years that I've driven from Los Angeles up Santa Barbara on Highway 101, I've passed by Ventura and Oxnard so many times it's hard to believe that I've never stopped here. And boy, what a surprise I had when I did finally get myself here. It is a beautiful place. The coastal area is fantastic. Fantastic beach. Two very nice harbors, Oxnard and Ventura City Harbor. So I've been here for a week, and I've been out to the islands a couple times and been shooting the pictures, learning about the area, learning about their eco programs and their eco and nature tours and aquatic adventures. And while here, we've had several meetings with our host, which is Island Packers. They're the people who run the boats over to the Channel Islands. We've had meetings with Cheryl Connolly. We've had meetings with the Visitors Bureau. We've had meetings with several other people who are very involved in adventure travel, adventure tours, and eco tours here. And we finally came to the conclusion that Ventura County had so much to offer in terms of ecotourism, nature tours, aquatic adventures, that this would be a great place to bring the Eco Guide series to. So now we are setting up the plans to make several visits here and start working on that guide. While we are also, Sherry Sabathy, who is our regional publisher out here in California, she and I have also are scheduled this coming Monday to head over to Catalina, which is the island that is just off of the Los Angeles area, a very popular getaway destination for not only Southern Californians, but people from all over the country go to Catalina. It's a great destination. It's got one small town called Avalon, and the rest of the entire island is a preserve. It's a nature preserve. So we will be heading over there because we launched a few months back the initiative for Eco Guide Catalina, and we'll be going over there to meet with the mayor, who is also the owner of the dive shop, one of the dive shops on the island. And so this trip has been, multi-purpose essentially, and it's turned out to be a very exciting trip. Again, as many times as I have come to California, worked in California, I'm seeing all kinds of new things that I never ever saw before.
Well, I think about tourism in general, if you take the time to look around, you always see something different. That's why it's good that you can go back to places from time to time. Certainly, the Florida Keys, you've had that experience for as many years. The Florida Keys this last few months has been a revelation to you as well, hasn't it?
I had a great two-month run in April and May in Key Largo and running up and down to the Keys. I am scheduled to be back down in the Keys middle of July, where I'll be spending another month in Key West to follow up on the work for the Florida Keys, the Eco Guide Florida Keys. Of course, we have our regional publisher out there, Christy Allen, who is just doing a great job on keeping things running and getting things keep things organized. And she's just doing a wonderful job with all that. And in addition to that, we have launched the Eco Week event, which will be in November 2010. But, you know, here we are. We're planning way in advance for this event because it is going to be a very, very big event with a lot of activities going on at the same time throughout the whole week in the Upper Keys, which will cover Key Largo, Isla Mirada, Tavernier area of the Upper Keys. So she's doing a great job. That guide is coming together fabulously. It's we're already looking at probably 36 to 48 pages of information, and we're very excited the way we've been received and the support we're getting from the Florida Keys operators, outfitters, and merchants.
Well, talk for a minute about the concept behind the Eco Guide series. The first one came out of Volusia County. You worked on that last year and produced the Eco Guide to the Waters of Volusia County. And that is basically a combination. It's a prototype, but I'm sure, like in most publications, each one gets a little bit different. The Florida Keys will be another, the Volusia one, and there's a formula, but the style it changes, doesn't it?
Well, let me back up for a second and explain how this all came about. We in the Volusia County area, and especially in my hometown of New Smyrna Beach, we are so gifted with natural surroundings we have with the Indian River Lagoon, which is the most biodiverse lagoon in the U.S., 3,000 species of fish and animals and marine life. It's just an amazing place, wonderful for kayaking and bird watching. And we have our tourism base. Are people who come there to see the lagoon, to come to our long span of white beaches, our sand dunes, our national parks, that we have two parks right in New Smyrna Beach. And the idea was that we needed to make sure that when people were visiting that they understood that they were coming to play in our very fragile environment, and that we needed them to understand what we were doing to protect the environment and hoped that they would embrace the respect and protect concept as a visitor as well. So the original idea was kind of educational, but realizing that people don't go on vacation to be lectured, we thought we needed to include some things that would help them in terms finding out where to go for the various activities that we had to offer in the area. So we added the directory or resource directory on nature tours and bird watching and kayaking and diving and board sailing and bicycling and hiking and just all the things that you can do outdoors to enjoy the environment that we have to offer there. So that originally started out as sort of an educational visitor's pamphlet, and that was now turned into actually an educational resource guide so that as a visitor would arrive and pick these up in the hotel in hotels, they would then know where to go to experience all the things that we have to offer in the environment.
So the idea then evolved into the Florida Keys, and you've got somebody in that's working on a publication in Cozumel. Is that correct?
Yeah, what happened was we Ocean Realm is a sponsor, a media sponsor of the Adventure Travel Expo, which is a series of travel adventure shows around the country in six major cities. And we were there, and a number of the other visitors from throughout in the state of Florida, actually. It would be the Visit Florida, the state Visit Florida program has a dozen booths from various counties. And the various counties that were there were taking a look at the eco guide that we did for Smyrna Beach, which is now a full county guide for Volusia. And they just said that we have to have one of these. And so we were very surprised and excited to hear that there was now such a demand throughout the state in these various counties for such a guide. And so the people that took the greatest initiative was Stacy Mitchell from the TDC, Tourism Development Council, in the Florida Keys. And she just basically said, you have got to come down here. We have so many things going on. We have 18 green certified lodges now and growing. The entire county is going green, and we want an eco guide. So that was the second guide that we started to put in place. So we do have one in Cozumel that's being worked on. That's going to be a six-month project that we will then have the first international eco guide coming out of for the Cozumel area. But the eco guide series is just growing almost faster than we can keep up with. So we're trying to pace ourselves and trying to only manage six new guides every 6 months, because it takes us about 6 months to produce these. Of course, these are not done by myself only. We have regional publishers in every area who basically run their market, find the sponsors, set up arrangements for me to come around to do the pictures and learn the area so that I can write the materials for these guides.
Well, let's just take a very quick break and come back and then go back to the West Coast and talk a little bit more about Catalina. This is Ken English. You're listening to Eco Lounge in Miami, Florida. I'm the producer and the host of this on the Blog Talk Radio platform. I'm also going to be working with Richard on the ecological side, the ecotourism, the eco guide to Miami-Dade County as well. So when we come back in just a minute, we'll be talking with Richard in just a few seconds with Richard Stewart about the island and the eco guide. It's the 24th of June, 2009. I'm Richard Stewart, publisher of the Eco Guide series, ecoguides.info online for more information. We've been talking about various projects that have been over the last couple of months in particular. The next one that'll get geared up soon will be the Miami-Dade. But right now, Richard is in California, getting ready to go to Catalina Island. Before we go from there, talk a little bit more about the Channel Islands. Give people a mental picture. I've been looking online at some of the websites as to what makes up the Channel Islands. Take us there mentally, Richard. As you know, radio is theater of the mind.
Well, like I said, I've made a couple trips out there still learning an awful lot about the islands. From the historical view of the islands, they were formerly privately owned, and I believe that they were doing some agriculture or livestock breeding out there. And in the past, I'm going to say 10 years, again, I'm just now studying all the history of this. I'm actually heading back out. I'll be at Anacapa tomorrow. And, you know, as I get to go to each of these islands and see what they're like, I'm learning the history of them. But they're now totally under national park control. They have gone in and they have removed all the indigenous, non-indigenous plants and animals and have really made a major effort to restore it back to the original natural landscape and animal life that the islands have been for centuries. They're a rugged, granite type islands with sharp cliffs around in most cases. Some of the islands have some real nice natural sandy beaches. Essentially, all four of the islands are a little bit different from each other as you go from the string that angles from somewhat of the east to the northeast or northwest. And that's also because that first island, I think it's Santa Maria, is the first one that's out on the channel, is getting most of the rainfall, so it's a greener island. Whereas the closest one to the coastal area, Anacapa, is the one that is more barren and has, because of the lack of rain. And it is also the one that has less of the natural wave action and erosion that builds sandy beaches. And so therefore it's pretty much steep cliffs all the way around that island. Some real beautiful land bridge, bridges. The way the erosion for these islands have developed over the centuries, and you've got some gorgeous arches that just extend out from the main land, sort of like an arm that's hanging over the edge of the side of the cliff into the water. So the visual aspect of it is just gorgeous. The picture taking opportunities are great. There is a lot of diving being done out there. The water is crystal clear. I went out, haven't made my first dive yet. Plan to do that in September when the water gets a little bit warmer for this Florida boy. Right now I'm concentrating on learning the nature program that they have here. And I did spend a day on Santa Cruz Island kayaking into the sea caves, which was the first time I've ever done anything like that. And wow, what a thrill to go through this mammoth cave openings where that you can almost drive a boat, a large boat, into these things. But then they tunnel down into maybe 12 foot wide by 8 foot high tunnels that go back into the island. And we were in a few of those where we penetrated back into it. Of course, we're using lights and helmets and everything on kayaks. We went back about 300, 400 feet. So it's been a great new experience just getting a chance to do that.
Well, looking at the National Park Service website, it talks about the edge aspect of it, the fact that it is national park now. From this site, it says Island Packers, an official park concessionaire, also offers a variety of student programs, from half-day whale watching to full-day and Santa Cruz Island trips. There's an obvious push to get people and students more aware of the delicate balance of nature. So it went very hand-in-hand, if just to use that expression, with the eco-guide concept that you're working on, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. We're very big in children educational programs and promoting the organizations that organize these programs. Island Packers, what a great company. When I first arrived and went out on my first trip to Santa Cruz Island, I was just, Sherry and I walked in there and looked around their storefront. And on the wall, they have a board where every day they write down their sightings. And we were just blown away. 5,000 porpoise, 5 blue whales, two of this, and turtles. And every day that they go out and make that crossing, they see this marine life all over the place. And of course, the day I went out, I didn't see any whales, not yet, but I did see just thousands, not hundreds, literally thousands of dolphins in pods that would as the boat would traverse itself across the channel, these dolphins would turn around wherever they were doing, they would turn around and start following the boat. And of course, they're jumping in the waves and having a great time. But it just blew me away to see so much marine life activity out here, and the way they put it on the board every day, it just says, you got to go, you got to get out there and see this.
Well, I bet you didn't know that San Miguel Island is the only known place in the world where 4 different species of seals and sea lions breed, and up to 6 species can be found. Did you know that?
No, I heard a little bit about that from the captain on my first day out there. We did go by a few areas where there were some seals, and so he was explaining some of these facts. And again, like I said, there's so much to learn about this place and this area and the Channel Islands and the two primary cities, Ventura City and Oxnard City, that service the Channel Islands activities. There's so much to learn. It's going to take me far more than just this first week that I'm here, which is why we're already planning to come back in September. In fact, in September they're saying that the weather is always clear, the water is much calmer, and the blue whales are much more prevalent for sighting. So I will be coming back and spending about 2 or more weeks here to really dig into the facts and the information that I need to have for the guide, and also to get a couple thousand more pictures to choose from.
Well, certainly it's a scenic destination and a place that's really very attractive. Take a 2-second break, make a quick transition, and then talk a little bit about Catalina Island, and then I know you're busy, so I appreciate your time. I'll be right. This is Ken English. You're listening to Eco Guides. Eco Lounge is the voice of the Eco Guide series. We're going to be talking with various publishers, the people involved in the basis with the various locations. When Richard gets over to Catalina Island, we'll be looking for a location to do a program from. Certainly going to talk more about the Channel Islands and the activities that are going on in California. Back here on the East Coast, well, Florida Keys project with Christy Allen right now going full bore. She's been working very diligently on the Key Largo area, the Keys. There's several different projects that are taking place there. We'll be talking about the Eco Week initiative and Reef Fest and some other things in Florida in coming weeks. But also we're going to talk more each week about Miami-Dade County's environmental side. A lot of people think of Miami as a destination for nightclubs and entertainment and places of tangible places on the land, but the coast under the water, there is an artificial reef program for scuba diving, nearshore encouraging development of snorkeling, more to the west in the Everglades area, there's kayaking, recreational activities all tied to the ecotourism theme. So this is Eco Lounge. I'm Ken English, producer and host in Miami, Florida. My Richard Stewart. Richard's out in the Channel Islands of California. Richard, now that you're shifting gears and thinking about Catalina Island, I guess you're not shifting gears and thinking, you got them both, you're juggling many of those destinations. But Catalina then is a little different than the Channel Islands, isn't it?
It is a little different, but because I've not been out to the far reaching island. I believe you said it was Santa Maria was the first island out there. I believe that island is similar to Catalina, because I know that it has grassy plains and some beautiful beaches and things like that. I guess the main difference is that Catalina has a small enclave where Avalon, the city of Avalon, the town of Avalon, it's not really a city, it's not that big, but the town of Avalon is a quaint little town on the waterfront in the harbor of Avalon. And, you know, there are residents that live on that part of the Catalina Island full time. But 95% of that island is now been turned into national park as well, because it was owned by one family for, I don't know, I think about 100 years. And when I was there a couple years ago, we did a jeep expedition all around that island, and it's a huge, huge island. And what a great vistas and beautiful scenery throughout the island. But the Channel Islands, so far I've seen two of the islands. I'm working on the others. And that, like I said, they all pose a unique environment to themselves, make each one of them a little bit different. And the reason why you need to go out there more than one time. You just can't go to one island and say, oh, I've seen the Channel Islands, because it does not represent what all the islands as a group have to offer. I'm here in Oxnard. I'm at the Channel Islands Harbor, which is one of the two harbors that you depart from, the other harbor being the Ventura Harbor, and both of them are serviced by Island Packers. But I'm over here today walking around taking some pictures, meeting new people. And I walked into it's called the Studio Gallery, to look at some of the art here. And there are so many talented artists who use the Channel Islands as their subject. And it's just some beautiful oil paintings and watercolors of the scenery of these islands. So it makes a great place. It makes a great place for photographers and painters and creative minds to go out and capture these images. And so I'm walking around here as we speak, looking at the various artwork. I want to thank Joanne Steele, who is the owner of the studio gallery that's been here for like 40 years, she tells me, for allowing me to do this broadcast from her location and take in all the sights at the same time. But I'm excited about this site.
Ask her if she'd like to say hello.
Well, she just is with a customer right now. So.
Okay. If she frees up, I'm actually in the Wynwood Art District in Miami now. That's where I'm doing the program from, outside of a restaurant called across the street from the Wynwood Social Club and the Chelsea Galleria and American Art Gallery. As you know, sections of Miami have been redeveloped with an artistic theme, but kind of as meshed in well, the Ocean Realm publication that we were doing with doing with artists to include some of the really fine work of Patrick Chavier. However you pronounce it, Patrick, if you're listening. Certainly Pascal Lecoq, the painter of blue. Many very talented people, and they miss out in the one that Miami has that's really focused on the water side, or on the art world, and that's Art Basel. And at some point, we're going to get this ocean art, marine art gallery together. Because I really think, as you're saying, in the gallery that you're walking into, there's some wonderfully talented people treated with the respect of an artist as some of the abstract artists are. You know, it's really strange to me.
Fine art is, there's a very definition of what fine art is. Are you there?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm calling on my cell phone. Sometimes it just does not always get through. So, yeah, fine art, I guess, in the art world, fine art is, has one, they describe it in one way. But as you have said over the years, why that has not included things like marine art is beyond me. Nature is a wonderful subject for art, and I just think that at some point in Miami, there should be some studios set up, something set up where people can come and look at, you know, nature and underwater fine art.
Well, certainly the Wynwood Social Club is the location I had mentioned to you before, the possibility of doing one of the Eco Lounge nights. It's a function hall, basically, that's open to special events. And the concept behind the Eco Lounge, as you know, there's an organization or some people in Hawaii get the idea. And when you were in Tucson, coincidentally, there's a location in Tucson. But the idea really took hold. I'm thinking very much of saying that it's a great thing to do, to bring together an active outdoor tourism-based business like scuba divers that might come together, and the environmental organizations, the people who are concerned about the ocean, to get them to mix and mingle. Do you do anything more or get any more about that Eco Lounge concept, or is that something that we're going to work on later?
Yeah, we'll be working on that. I did meet with the people who organized the Eco Lounge in Tucson, and they have theirs every third Thursday of the month, which I believe all the lounges pretty much organized it the third Thursday of the month. And I think right now there's one in Tucson, one in L.A., and one or two in Hawaii, where the West Coast guys are building their Eco Lounge group. And I know we have plans to set up an Eco Lounge at Snappers in Key Largo and Pierre's in Isla Mirada. So, and of course, Pam Godfrey, who is one of our staff members of the Florida Keys, the Eco Guide Florida Keys, she's also a commentator and host for various shows for the Comcast group down in the Keys. And she and Christy as well, Christy has her own health and lifestyle show as well. And they will be, working to develop the Eco Lounge socials. And we will probably be doing shows from socials once a month as well. There is also a group, or not a group per se, but an organization. I don't even know if they're an organization, but they call it Green Drinks. And it's a social thing where people get together, and it's a similar concept as Eco Lounge. And so we're going to sort of tap into that group and get them to participate in the Eco Lounge down there. So yeah, Eco Lounge is a social networking opportunity for one-on-one meetings, not online social networking. It's where you can actually see the people that you're meeting and sit and talk with them about environmental issues, environmental programs and projects and events and things like that.
Well, certainly the concept is good, and we'll explore pushing that out a little bit further. The internet provides a great platform. The fact that you and I can chat like this, I'm sitting in Wynwood in the area. You're in the Channel Islands in Oxnard area, and we are connecting through a phone call into New York. And by the magic involved in that, it's streamed. People around the world can listen now, but more importantly, is that it lives on the internet for a long time. So people can go to the archives and they can listen on other websites. A communication tool, and we want to embrace that as much as we possibly can. I was watching a little earlier today. There's a lot of streaming technology now. Some people that I know on a system called Ustream.tv, out of the house in their living room, they were doing a very nice broadcast, and there were several hundred people hooking up to this. And I'm just marveling at how this technology has changed. I mean, you've been in the media for many years. You got to shake your head every now and then and just say, isn't it amazing that we can do these things?
Oh, in 1996 when we first were introduced to the internet, and people at the time, when you said anything about the internet, they looked at you dumbfounded. They had no idea what it was, And we were real lucky to have some friends that were very technical savvy in the computer industry, and said to us, you need to jump on this now because it's going to be the next big thing. And that year, we went and produced, I had my friend Greg Johnson working with me and several other great photographers, and we produced the first online magazine that was not, it was not a PDF like a lot of them are today, like our X-ray magazine is, but this was an HTML magazine. So it was HTML text, and we had all of the challenges to figure out how to float text around pictures, because, you know, in HTML it's really hard to fix things according to the different monitor sizes that people use. It can change completely change the design of your story. So we had a lot of challenges in those early days of doing online publications. But, you know, as we found that people go online, and when they read things online, there's two different kind of people who look for information online. One person will look for the text, and the pictures will be secondary. They want to read the information, get the facts, which is where HTML publications are still very, very important and have a purpose. And then there's those people who want to appreciate the design qualities of a publication as they would if it was in print. And that is where those are the people who take the time to download the PDF publications, like the publication we do. Peter Symes is the publisher of X-Ray Magazine. And, of course, Ocean Realm, our Eco Destination publication, it's available as a PDF, but then we also print a limited run of coffee table editions as well. By the way, we are now looking at going to a hardcover for the 2010 edition, and so it's really evolved to become a beautiful coffee table book. So, the advent of the internet, the advent of YouTube, and where people can take their creativity in video and slideshows, has just been phenomenal. And now the advent of Blog Talk Radio to allow us to sit and talk to people and interview people on the spot is just phenomenal. Fantastic. It really is fantastic technology.
Well, so much is going so fast. I just read a report last night, as I was looking at some stuff online, 63% of the United States now has access to broadband. Obviously, there's going to be a percentage of people who will never get online, and then there's going to be people who spend too much time online. And in between, what this is doing with this broadband expansion is enabling people to see videos. I just watched the first episode of Flash Gordon, episode 1, season 1. On YouTube, and they are pushing out some new technology. I mean, being owned by Google and all that, the YouTube has changed radically. You can now put a very good high definition video on the platform. So it's really going. It's just amazing. So we'll try to capture as much of that as we possibly can through the EcoGuide series and the like. This is basic. It's now basic to stream this across the internet, but I remember a few years ago how difficult it was and how costly it was to do in general. So this is great for people who have an interest. Blog Talk Radio works really well. Rich, why don't you summarize a little of the Eco Guide and how people would get in touch with you?
Well, the Eco Guide will be available in a number of ways. Obviously, if you come to one of the adventure travel shows and visit our exhibit, you can get a copy. You can select copies from the guide that we'll have available. It's available in HTML and PDF. If you go to EcoGuides, that's plural with an S, EcoGuides.info, that's the directory of the various guides that we have available and in production. And then, of course, if you're visiting any of these areas, you'll see the guide in the lobbies of select hotels where you can pick it up and use the reference there. So, yeah, there are many ways to reach, get the guide, and I think for those who are looking to travel to any of these destinations, they'll find that going online, they'll see all the information that we have within the guide and more, because as we grow with these markets, we have contributors who will be providing us with stories and photographs and facts and numbers and everything that we can continuously gather until we have filled our cup up with as much facts and information and pictures we possibly can. And so with that, I am on my way over to Island Packers, which is just around the corner here, to shoot pictures of their schooner that they have. They have their educational program for kids, where they take out kids and they give them a sailing adventure, and they teach them a little bit about sailing. And this is a beautiful, beautiful schooner. I did get a chance to go out on it last week in a very, very good windy day, and we hit over 10 knots. But I, because I was on the boat, I didn't get a chance to take any pictures of the boat from the shore. So they're going to be departing shortly. I'm going to walk over there and get some pictures and continue on my day.
Well, I'm glad we had a chance to hook up a few minutes, almost an hour now, so it's not draining your battery too badly.
I do hear the phone beeping a little bit, but I think it'll make it.
All right. Well, Richard, if you have to summarize with it, if you think we left anything out, please go ahead. We'll do this again soon, trying to get more of the Eco Lounge programming. I've started to do one with Gary Levine. I call it Aquarium Rock, but the focus on the rock, the live rock that goes into aquariums. I had no idea not only how big the industry is, but the fact that nearly all of the American aquarium owners buy comes from Bali, Fiji, Tonga, and even Haiti, where there's ripping up the coral reefs to send little chips of it back to the States so somebody can put it in their fish tank. There really needs to be an awareness factor with that. And, you know, and again, the unique platform of something like Blog Talk Radio enables us to do that, because there'll be some people who really are interested and will listen to aquarium-related information.
Gary's doing a great job. His enterprise is doing a great job providing an alternative to buying and supporting organizations that are ripping up the corals. It's just unbelievable. It shouldn't be allowed to happen. It's not allowed in many of these countries, but it happens anyway because there's a black market or paid under the table, to sort of speak. It's just a practice that needs to and the live rock aspect of it is, you know, as you've learned and I've learned through our talks with Gary, is basically growing marine life on porous harvested coral rock that's in the ground. It's not detrimental to the environment to remove some of this rock. It's done so on a regular basis through normal growth of industries and construction and so on. But to be able to take this rock and use that to produce the rocks that the aquarium industry needs, as opposed to going out to our reefs that are already under a certain amount of duress, is a much better alternative. So, and you know, we'll continue this next week when we get to Catalina. Sherry and I will be out there, and we'll give you a full report of what we're doing and what we see, and talk to a few people.
Absolutely, and if we do, if you come across something of interest beforehand, you can set up a special show. That's what makes it so much fun. All right, with that, Richard, thank you very much for your time.
It was a pleasure, Cam. We'll talk to you later.
That was Richard Stewart. Richard Stewart is the publisher of Eco Guides, ecoguides.info online. If you want to find out a little bit more about the verification, there's several being worked on now, including the Florida Keys, the Eco Guide to the Florida Keys. Christy Allen's putting that together as the regional publisher. I'm the regional publisher of the to come Miami-Dade Eco Guide, trying to pull more attention, put more attention on the other side, above and below the surface, and also get more people to be, when they come into a coastal community, that they really need to take better care of what's there, what's underwater. out of sight, out of mind is where problems occur. So next week, next week at noon is the normal scheduled time of this program on Blog Talk Radio platform, but it'd be better to do a little bit later this afternoon. So 2 o'clock, I rescheduled it for that. And there'll be other programs. I'm working on a conference to be involved with this summer conference on Rich Media. And the Rich Media Conference is going to be from July 14th for a couple of weeks with different people presenting interesting topic online. My topic is going to be this, Blog Talk Radio, and how to use it as a communication tool. But I'm talking about Animoto, which is a great video service. If you recognize the potential of the internet and you have a business, you really need to have video. You need to have a presence on your website that is more than text. It used to be static. It used to be text and pictures and some graphics, and then the graphics moved, and the next thing you know, there's Flash. And Flash is a little more complicated, particularly if it's your website and you don't know how to operate Flash. You can't make any changes at all. You're at the mercy of somebody. HTML, it's a little more flexible. But then blogging came along. You can blog. You can get a free blog at WordPress.com or Blogger on the Google platform there and put information out, and both will rank well. And if you combine that blogging platform with Twitters and microblogs, also with video and audio as Blog Talk Radio, you can on Google's first page. So, as I like to say, you can talk your way to the top of Google if you are so inclined. Check out my website, blogradiomadeeasy.com, if you'd like to know how to do a radio pro, or blogtalkradioguy.com to see what programs are being produced. There's links to the various programs. They include Eco Alert with Nadine Patrice on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eco Alert with Patrice is a program focused on the environmental crisis of Haiti, the problems that Haiti has, not only on the land where the deforestation has taken place, but also in the water, where at first I just thought it was a matter of silver. The topsoil washes in and it settles on the fringing reef. Now I know that there are people chipping away chunks, large of living coral, whatever's left in the water around Haiti, and they're shipping it to the United States to go into the bottom of somebody's fish tank. So there needs to be a greater awareness, and that's what the Eco Guide series is about, what Eco Lounge is about. And I encourage you to online, and you can just Google Eco Lounge, and you'll find some of the Blog Talk Radio platform, Blog Talk Radio shows on the platform. If you Google Blog Talk Radio Guy, you can find some of the projects that I'm working on, including video and audio and other as well. This is Ken English. I'm in Miami, Florida. I'm the producer and host of Eco Lounge. I'm also the producer and host of a few others. If you'd like to know how to produce a show of your own and host it, get in touch with me. Check out blogtalkradiomadeeasy.com or email me, Ken, K-E-N, at blogtalkradioguy.com, and just put in the subject line something relevant so I know what it's all about. With that, I'm going to sign off for today. It's been a pleasure being here in the Wynwood Art District of Miami. The Wynwood Art District combined with the Miami Art District, Miami Design District, comprise the basic elements of Miami's resurgence as an artistic community. Tropical art, and that's what the art of tourism is incorporating into it as well. We'll be talking about the Wynwood Social Club, Joey's Cafe in the Wynwood area, Chelsea Galleria, and other art galleries in the immediate area. Check out MiamiArtOnline.com for some information and reference points online. And if you're involved in scuba diving, check out MiamiBeachDiving.com, MiamiBeachDiving.com. It's another website that has a lot of information, is going to be developing more. With that, it's been a beautiful day, the 24th of June, 2009. I'm Ken English from the Wynwood Art District of Miami, wishing you a very good day.